as I welcome you back. I'm going to get Chris Burke in here. Chris Burke, I want to visit with you quickly, and then we'll get a couple phone calls in as well. Burkey, there is a move afoot right now among our fan base. In fact, there's a show across town. They had a vote yesterday, and Bobby Petrino ran away with it on election day with the ballot in terms of who Tennessee's next coach should be if it's not John Gruden. And the runaway winner was Bobby Petrino. Now, Chris Burke, a little background on you. You played Major League Baseball. You're Tennessee's all-time hits leader with the Vols. You played Major League Baseball for several years. You are a friend of this program. You are a truth teller. And you have some knowledge because you also have coached and been around the administration at Louisville for years as well. So Bobby Petrino had a great run at Louisville. You know a lot of folks there. Bobby Petrino obviously had his off-field dalliance. He got into a little bit of trouble there at Arkansas and left those poor folks just holding the bag for his mess. Burkey, I ask you right now about Bobby Petrino and the possibility of Tennessee hiring him, which I think, Burkey, I got to tell you, would be a home run hire at this point in time here. Your thoughts?
Well, as you said, I'm pretty close to this, to at least as close as I guess somebody in my position could be to speaking on the environment that is around the Bobby Petrino program. I've got, you know, some dear friends that I spend a lot of time with that played for Bobby Petrino, both collegiately and professionally. So I can speak to kind of the way he handles his locker room internally. A lot of friends, as you said, at the University of Louisville in the administration. I can speak to kind of how the program is held or how the program runs externally as far as the stuff outside of actually the coaching, the X's and O's. And without sounding too political on this, let me just give kind of a for and against. I would say that Bobby Petrino is arguably the best play caller in college football. I've never seen somebody handle an offense the way this guy does. Brian Brohm, who unfortunately has not been able to really even stick on an NFL roster, almost won the Heisman and was obviously the MVP of the Orange Bowl under Bobby Petrino. Chris Redman, who's a good buddy of mine, who played for Petrino, was his offensive coordinator at U of L, and played for Petrino when Petrino was with the Falcons. When he left college football, was the second, behind Ty Detmer, was second all-time in passing yards in the history of college football playing under Bobby Petrino. And what you hear from these guys is people are just always open. This guy has an unbelievable ability to scout, to prep, to game plan, and then most importantly, in-game call plays where people are just literally running. I mean, you see that in Arkansas. I mean, people are open. It's incredible the way this guy, and it's not just a passing game. They run the football effectively. I mean, the guy, again, is one of the best offensive minds, maybe the best offensive mind in all of college football. He will win. He will play an exciting brand of football. That is for sure, without a doubt. Now, the cons would be his recent circumstances are such that I think there's a couple things at play. Number one, the way things went down there on a moral basis are certainly unfortunate and something that I would argue that most of our fan base would stand against. Now, I'm all about second chances. I'm all about people being able to right wrongs and grace and all those types of things. But it is pretty close. We're still within a year of the incident. And to think that Bobby Petrino has changed enough to where the moral compass of his program is going to be in a direction different than it was at Arkansas, I think is a stretch. I think number two, and this is a pretty shallow reason for me wanting to see if we can go another direction, would be maybe I'm just eternal optimist, but I'd like to think that our job is not a scrap heap job. I'd like to think that we're a program that can take somebody away from something that's already great because our place offers something better. And I know Bobby Petrino is a great coach, and as I said, he's going to win, he's going to break all types of offensive numbers, and that's been proven time and time again. But he's also on the scrap heap. I mean, the guy was fired in an embarrassing way, and there's a lot of programs that won't touch him because of that. And for us to hire him wouldn't be the statement of, oh, wow, Tennessee's such a great place because we can go grab a coach from, name it, X school or X job. We can just, we're grabbing a guy off the scrap heap because he messed up in Arkansas and he's available. So,
Rocky, let's,
I
mean, Berkey,
sense, but that's kind well, of my
on.
Feeling on the whole
hang
issue.
On. Hang on. Let's not dance around this now, Berkey. I don't want to dance around. You're dancing around here. You give me the pros and the cons. Anybody could do that. I want you to give me some inside stuff on this guy, because here's the book on Petrino. The book on Petrino is he's a selfish guy that tried to cut the heart out from under a guy who gave him a job at Auburn when he interviewed in secrecy, and they almost pulled off a coup there on who was it at the time? Tommy Tuberville, whose staff he was on. And then there's right. another school of thought about the way he left the Falcons high and dry, and they had that Monday Night Football debacle that we'll never forget. And then he had this blow up at Arkansas, and so you've got some things in the ledger there. And I want to know, behind the scenes, what do people say about Bobby Petrino? Are these three things just isolated incidents, or is he a guy that you would categorize, as some people say in this business, a bad guy? Is he a guy that you would categorize as a bad guy? Berkey, I want the truth. Go.
I think that's fair. You hear players talk about him as somebody you're scared to death of, somebody you know you're going to be accountable to, somebody who will absolutely demolish you if you don't do your job. Now, that's the reason his teams win. But the flip side of that is, you're not going to get a guy who's going to make you feel warm and fuzzy. You're not going to get a guy who breathes a family atmosphere. You're not going to get a guy who is great in the living room or in booster circles or administrative circles. I don't think that you need me to give you anything that you didn't already say. The only thing you left out was, don't forget about not only was he trying to get that Auburn job, but he was also, you know, leaving a Louisville job where Tom Jurich gave him his first crack at being great and basically gave him everything under the sun, and he walked out of there on those folks. So, and then most people would call Louisville stepping stone job, but the way he did it certainly didn't sit well with the people in this community. So I just think you have to count the cost. Me personally, it would not be my first choice, nor would it be on my short list of choices. I would go in a few other directions before I went that route.
All right, let me ask you something. A guy who the Vol Colonel, who I have a dear respect for, tells me that Petrino's on Tennessee's initial three list, and also, ironically enough, Berkey, ironically enough, the head coach at Louisville, where you sit right now, and you've been in that community for a long, long time, and I know you've been around Charlie Strong. I know you know him. I know you do. What about Charlie Strong as a potential head coach here? Because I would argue with you that he hasn't done enough. But go ahead. I want your thoughts.
Well, the flip side of the Petrino scenario, this is a guy that's going to make you feel great on Sunday morning after a win, because he's all about character. He's all about family. He's all about values. An unbelievable leader of men, stands for everything that's right about college athletics. I've been at FCA events with him, and he's somebody that I would characterize as kind of in the Tony Dungy mold of leading men. And Charlie Strong would get a full endorsement on my side of it if he's willing to leave Louisville, which I'm not sure is the case.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the first hour. Elaborate on that, if you will.
Well, you just got to understand, Tom Jurich is one of the great athletic directors in our country. I would argue, you know, certainly I'm not qualified to say this, but from what I know, I mean, Tom is the best. And he treats his coaches so well, and he treats everybody in his administration so well that it's hard to get people to leave him. And, with the redo of their facility and the success they're having and the team that they have, it's all coming back next year. And so, obviously, they're not happy about their conference situation, but I don't know that Charlie Strong's going to leave. I don't know that he would walk away from an unbelievable situation at U of L. And I think we're in an era of college sports where Chris Peterson and Gary Patterson and Charlie Strong 10-15 years ago, you'd say, oh, they're at Boise State or TCU or Louisville, or of course they're going to leave to take a Tennessee job, but that's not really the case anymore. Everybody's paying, and when you're at Louisville or TCU or Boise State, you have career, you have lifetime job security. They're Dooley and will give you the first-hand account of, you don't get much time. You better figure it out quick, and if you don't, he gone. And at Louisville, what Charlie Strong's done this year is enough to keep him here for 25 years. If he wants to raise a family and make a bunch of money and have ultimate job security and win a bunch of games, he can do that. Gary Patterson and Chris Pierce, these guys never have to leave. They're making a whole bunch of money. They have an opportunity to still be in the limelight because everybody plays on TV in today's world. And it's just harder to grab these coaches than it used to be. It is much harder.
You are, Berkey, go ahead. Berkey, it's Harvey. I can say that you completely persuaded me that I now want Charlie Strong as Tennessee's new head coach. You just persuaded me. I'm just telling you. Was that your intention, Burke?
And like I said, that would be a great hire for our program.
But you don't think Tennessee can get him, though. You don't think Tennessee can get him.
I don't know. I'm just telling you right now, it would be a fight because Tom George, he doesn't lay down for anybody.
What Berkey's trying to say is Charlie Strong isn't quite in it for the money, from what I understand.
Exactly. There's a lot of talk, especially as it pertains to Teddy Bridgewater, who's going to be one of the Heisman front runners next year, that he came to Louisville because Charlie Strong promised him that he would be there for his entire career, and I'm not sure that Charlie Strong's going to go back on that.
Could he? If Charlie Strong came to Knoxville, do you feel, because I don't, do you feel satisfied that he could recruit to a level to be successful here?
I do. Absolutely, I do. And just take what you already know about Konzo Martin and add a more initial positive vibe from a personality standpoint, and you have Charlie Strong.
Berkey, thank you for your interaction today. Anything else that you care to add today on the sad state of where we sit at the University of Tennessee? I wanted the plug pulled yesterday on poor Derek Dooley and his tenure. This fan base deserves better than 50,000 or 48,000 people, as some of my sources tell me, was in the house for a homecoming.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate, and it obviously speaks to a lot of different things. But at this point, it just can't go on because the culture around the program is so negative that it just can't continue. And I'm excited to watch our football team. My problem is I can't quit it. I can't get it out of me. It's so in my blood. It's so in my veins that Saturday when we kick it off against Missouri, I'm going to be fighting tooth and nail for every yard and every play we get, and it's impossible for me to think negative about our program. But stepping away from that and looking at it certently from a business perspective, it's just change has to happen because the apathy around the program has reached epic proportions, and we better get somebody in here that people can get excited about it, or Tennessee football is going to be so far behind that it's going to be hard to get back where we believe that we should be in any kind of near future. And so that's distressing and unfortunate, obviously. But, man, I hope we go out there and hang 40 on Missouri and win the football game on Saturday. I don't know if I'm in the minority on that, but that's the way I feel.
Four more years, Berkey. Hey, four more years of Dooley, four more years. Thank you, Berkey.
Don't get
Have
me
a Dwight Gooden.
On that.